I want you to turn your mind back in time now. Way back in time, beyond the founding of the United States, beyond the birth of Jesus, beyond time indeed, all the way back to a day when humans had one language. In Genesis chapter 11, the people had migrated from the east and came upon the plain of the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the whole face of the earth, and they left off building the city. The first thing that strikes me this morning is that the very thing these people were afraid of, and the very reason why they were building their city and building their tower and organizing themselves and engaging in this construction project, the very reason why they were doing it ended up being the penalty that God exacted upon them. Think about it. They said, "We don't want to be scattered abroad. We don't want to be scattered and destroyed. Therefore, let us build a city and build a tower and defend ourselves and make a name for ourselves so that people will know we are great." And God, looking down, saw this and recognized their arrogance and recognized their pride. The Jewish rabbis who've interpreted this for millennia have said that this is an expression of human pride overcoming humility. Human pride in accomplishments and abilities overcoming the recognition that we are mere mortals, contingent, failing, imperfect, in need of guidance, incapable of supporting, defending, and truly making a name for ourselves. The rabbis were right. This story illustrates the folly of humans trying to make a name for themselves, of humans trying to protect themselves and defend themselves, because in the end there is only one true and sure defense. In the end there is only one way to make a name for yourself, and that is in God. So here they are building their city, building their tower, trying to keep from getting scattered. It says, "Otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." So they're doing this to keep from being scattered, thinking that in doing it, they'll make themselves great. And God looks down from heaven and sees what they're doing and recognizes He's made some pretty crafty individuals here. Some naughty people. And so that they won't become great, I am going to scatter them. And so He confuses their languages, so they cannot coordinate, so they cannot combine their efforts. He confuses their languages and scatters them over the face of the whole world. Isn't that ironic? They were building a tower, they were building a city to keep from being scattered. And because they were building the city, God scatters them. Isn't that ironic? Today we begin with this image of human arrogance, desiring to make a name for themselves and human desire to defend themselves, when in truth the defense that they could muster would only be a defense in this life, not for eternity. Depending upon themselves, their own power, their own abilities, their own arrogance, ended up getting them scattered and destroyed. That's the first image today. Human pride, human arrogance, resulting in human destruction. Isn't that the story of life, my friends, on this world? The life of sin in this world? The life of the desire to be your own master, be your own boss, do it your own way, get things done your own way, with your own wisdom and your own understanding, with your own abilities and your own strengths, and it ends up going to the dust. And you end up getting scattered as dust. That's the story of human sin and trying to live by your own abilities. Getting scattered to the whole ends of the world. That's the first image today. Here's the second one. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place. Interesting. Scattered, now gathered. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. All were amazed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "Ah, they're just filled with new wine. They're just drunk." Interesting second image here today. Scattered from the Tower of Babel, they have now gathered, but not to build a new tower, not to build a new human city, not to praise themselves, but no, to praise the Creator of the world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They've gathered together to worship. And the Holy Spirit comes and descends upon them and undoes the confusion done at Babel. And these people gathered together, speak in other languages, proclaiming the gospel, empowered by the Spirit, proclaiming multiple languages, not for the sake of confusion, but for the sake of proclaiming the gospel to everyone present that day in the city. Gathered together from all over the ancient world, from Rome and from Asia Minor, and Cappadocia, and Macedonia, and Crete, and Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, from the Far East, from the West, from the North, from the South, from all over the Mediterranean basin and beyond, they had gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, the Jewish feast, and they had gathered together multiple languages, and suddenly they hear the gospel proclaimed in their own language. It would be like going to Jerusalem, hoping to find a new message, a message of life eternal, and you don't speak any of the languages there, and suddenly in the midst of the crowd there is one person, a woman or a man, who opens their mouth, and in your language, in your dialect, with your accent, even though they're from another country, even though they don't speak your language, they begin to tell you the gospel in a way that you can understand. Multiple languages in one place, kind of like Babel in one respect, but inverted in purpose. Not to confuse and not to scatter, but to gather together. They were gathered together, not to make their own name, but to be made one under the name of Jesus. Not to proclaim their own name, but to proclaim the name of Jesus. And in Him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they were knitted together and made one. We have two images today. The Old Testament story of the scattering of the peoples because of their arrogance, because of their sin, the scattering and the multiplying of the languages and the scattering of the people abroad, and the image of people coming together to proclaim Jesus and languages being given by the power of the Holy Spirit, not for confusion's sake, but that all the whole world could hear the gospel. We have here today two miracles. The miracle of the confusion in punishment for sin, and the miracle of multiple languages for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel. And yes, some people sneer. People sneer at us. People sneer at us. Ah, you're just a Christian. What do you know? There was a story, I read it on the news the other day, sent a shiver down my spine. The story of a Christian in Pakistan. There is a Christian population in Pakistan. It's native Christian. And he was cleaning up a dump. A dump that had been developed in the middle of this town. People were dumping their stuff there. And it was next door to this mosque. And he thought that that was just terrible, that there would be a dump next door to a place of worship. And he didn't care that it was Muslim. He didn't care. And he was cleaning up this dump. And as he cleaned up the dump, he was setting aside stuff to go to one landfill and stuff to go to a different landfill. And then some stuff that he kind of wanted to keep himself, some good stuff. And he was setting them up in stacks. One of those stacks leaned over and fell against the mosque's wall. And he was arrested and convicted of desecrating a mosque. And the penalty was 2 years in prison. Well, he was about halfway through his service of his prison term. And he got sick with tuberculosis in the prison. So they took him to the hospital, and they had a guard appointed to him to watch over him so to make sure that he wouldn't escape. And his first night in prison, while he's lying in bed suffering from tuberculosis, the guard, who found out that the crime this fellow had committed was desecration of a mosque, allowing trash to lean against it, took a hammer, a ball-peen hammer, and beat him to death. Beat him to death. And some people say there is no persecution of Christians in the world today. People sneer at us too in this world. Online last night, an immediate message came in to me just as I was getting ready to sign off and go to bed. Can you tell me why you believe in Jesus? Even though there's so much evil in this world, can you tell me why you believe in Jesus? And the more I communicated with him, and the more I told him about my experience of Jesus Christ, and the more I told him about what God has done for me and my life and my family and my church family and the miracles that we have seen and the healings that we've seen, I told him about you, Peggy. I've told him about what God did in your life for you, and I've told him about you, Jason. And this person did nothing but sneer back at me over the internet with, "That's a fairy tale. That's good luck. That's medical science. That's not God." This person did nothing but sneer at me. They're sneering at us, just as they sneered here in the Acts of the Apostles. They're just drunk with new wine. I love Peter's response. "Hey, we can't possibly be drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Haven't had time yet. Come on." Yes, we're drunk. When we worship God, when we celebrate His presence, when we sing songs of glorious praise and applaud God for the wonderful grace that He has given, for the glory, hallelujah, of His presence, we are drunk. Amen. We're drunk on the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're drunk on His almighty power, which gathers us together and makes us one under His name, not our own. Amen. We, in our arrogance as a human race, decided to try to make our name for ourselves. Not by uniting under God's name, not by uniting in allegiance to Him, but by trying to depend upon ourselves, trying to stand for ourselves and defend ourselves and try to build a tower, as the story goes in the modifications and the expansions of the rabbis over the centuries, trying to build a tower up to heaven, to reach heaven. We tried to attain, by our ability, God's divinity. We tried in the garden when we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, trying to attain that divinity by our own abilities. And every time we try, God scatters us. Now, His miraculous power has gathered us together into one huge body, the church, filled with many different languages. I saw a study once that indicated that every known language group on the planet now, every known language group has Christians in it. There are believers in Jesus and members of His body speaking every major language family on the planet. That's amazing. The Word of God has been translated. His Holy Scriptures have been translated into every major language, not every dialect, but every major language group on the planet. Truly a multiplicity of languages, which the Holy Spirit brings together into one body to proclaim the gospel for all the world. Are we drunk on the Spirit this day? Are we filled with His presence and peace and power? Do we know His love, which can transform our scattered lives and draw us together and make us one in Christ Jesus? Or are we sneering and saying they're drunk with new wine? The world is sneering. The world is laughing. What are you going to do? Are you going to drink deep from the Holy Spirit? Receive the means of grace in Scripture and in hymns, songs of praise, gathering together and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you again? Or are you going to sneer? Are you going to walk away? Today, as we remember the sacrifice of so many wonderful people who have given their lives for this nation, who've given their lives that we might know freedom in this world, given their lives so that we might have liberty in this life, let us truly give thanks to God for them and recognize that if it wasn't for their sacrifice, we would not have liberty today. And if it wasn't for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we would not have eternal liberty, eternal freedom, eternal life. Amen. And let us have and accept and receive today, anew and afresh by faith, the Holy Spirit again into our lives, and drink deep from Him and His strength in our lives, that we might be brought together, gathered together, and made one again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.